Welcome back to Now Showing. I'm Patty Holly.
The Northwest Missouri State University Bearcat Marching Band will be taking its music off the football field and into the theater this evening. The band will perform its fall concert at 8 o'clock tonight. Dr. Doug Overmeyer is the director of the band.
It's basically halftime moves indoors. And so all of the music, all of the choreography that happens during the halftime performances, the flag routines, the majorette routines, the hopefully with the steppers, that'll all be there. But we've added another dimension to this. Each section is responsible for presenting some kind of a representation. And so the band will come parading in. We'll try to surround the audience with sound and people. We'll be up on stage, we'll have dancers going, we'll have musicians all over the place, and we just hope it'll be a really nice Thursday night musical party with the B&B.
It seems like it would be difficult to bring a marching band indoors, but it sounds like you've made a good compromise there.
Well, I think we have. We can't obviously move and do all the drill work that we would normally do. But, you know, sometimes the music is just enough, and we've got enough variety of what we're doing that it's really an entertaining show. And with the skits that the students will be preparing, I think it'll be really good.
Tell me about some of the music we'll hear.
Well, this year's theme was Guitar Hero. So we've got Smash Mouth, we've got Queen, we've got Boston, we've got our pop show, you know, that had Lady Gaga and Katy Perry and Tayo Cruz, and of course the party rock anthem has got to come back. So we'll be doing all of those. So I know it's cliche, but there really is something for everybody on this one.
Is there anything that you really like about it?
I love it because it's an exciting concert. And the performers love doing it. The audience hopefully will be into what we're doing. It'll be loud, and that usually stirs up a little bit more enthusiasm. So.
Dr. Doug Overmeyer is the director of the Bearcat Marching Band. He says the concert will be this evening, beginning at 8 o'clock, in the Charles Johnson Theater of the Fine Arts Building at Northwest Missouri State University. Tomorrow night, the State Theater in Mound City will pay tribute to music legends from the last four decades. Jim Brown is the director of Remembering the Legends, Jim Reeves, Ricky Nelson, Karen Carpenter, and Conway Twitty. He says the show is a local talent show.
The local talent show is usually built around a theme, and we have done some years where it's been, we've just picked a certain year from the 60s, 70s, or 80s, and done all the hits from that year. We've done some based, like we are this year, on certain performers of the past. And this year, these are legends of country and pop. Kind of my approach to this, as a young adult, I used to listen a lot to Casey Kasem's top 10 show on weekend television. I really liked it because he always had a lot of trivia about the performer or the songwriter or something related to the specific song that kind of added to me a lot of interest in the music I already liked. And so that's what I try to do with this, is give a little background on the song and the performers and the era.
Tell me about the legends that you'll be remembering during this program.
We're going to do Ricky Nelson, or Rick Nelson, depending on what part of his life you're talking about. Then we're going to also do Conway Twitty, Jim Reeves, and Karen Carpenter. We just try to do kind of a cross-section because they kind of represent different eras, and some of them, Rick Nelson, his first hit was in the 50s, and then his last hit was in the 70s. Conway Twitty, his first hit was early 60s, and then he had hits right up almost to 90, to the late 80s. And then, of course, Karen Carpenter, 60s and 70s.
You say that the State Theater has done this a number of years. Are you ever surprised at the talent that you see coming out of that area?
Oh, yeah. We have some excellent, excellent talent. And to be real honest, I didn't try to throw a big wide net this time and pull in near all the talent that's here. I have a very, very small cast and crew this time, and largely I did it that way because of the time element. This comes right at the end of harvest, and some of the band members are involved in that, and it just made it very, very hard to get the extra rehearsals that it takes if you've got a couple dozen singers. It just is, logistically, it's a nightmare to try to get rehearsals put together. And so we kept it very, very simple. There's only going to be six, seven people involved in this particular one. But, you know, we've had up to 20 people involved, and there is no shortage of people with ability in this area. There's some incredible talent in this area. The only part of this show that is somewhat of a reprise is that Melinda Dudek, who does the Karen Carpenter, did some Karen Carpenter stuff for us two or three years ago, I believe, and was really well received. And as we got to putting this together, you know, wanted to have a female vocalist too, and so it was just kind of a natural to bring her back for that. But Greg Book will be doing the Conway Twitty, and Greg is not only a very capable performer, but he is a huge fan of Conway Twitty. So this is something that kind of is born out of his admiration for Conway. I'm doing Jim Reeves, which, if my mother were here instead of Western Nebraska, would make her happy, because as I was a kid, Jim Reeves was my mother's favorite. And then Curtis Stroud is doing Ricky Melson. Now, that's a bit more of a stretch, because he's a younger guy, and I don't know if he ever saw an episode of Ozzie and Harriet, but he does a great job with his music.
Jim Brown is the director of Remembering the Legends, Jim Reeves, Ricky Nelson, Karen Carpenter, and Conway Twitty. The show will be tomorrow evening beginning at 7 o'clock in the State Theater in Mound City. Tickets are available at the door or may be reserved by calling 660-442-5909. Holiday shoppers will have a unique opportunity to find that perfect gift created by area artisans. The Holiday Hunt returns to Maryville this weekend. Co-organizer of the Holiday Hunt, Sonia Hengler, says this is the third year for the juried event.
The Holiday Hunt started with the idea that there are a number of artists and craftspeople in our region that did not have a way to showcase their wares instead of a traditional craft show. And they were getting more and more frustrated because more of the booths at those craft shows were getting filled with retailers. And so we created an avenue for those homemade products to be showcased to the public.
What kinds of items might we find here?
You're going to find anything from handcrafted silver jewelry to infant and toddler wear to hair accessories. We also have someone coming, Christy Harris, who comes from Atchison, and she creates soaps and lotions from goat milk that she gets from her own personal farm. We do have this year someone coming who will be bringing their spinning wheel, and they will be spinning their own yarn and showcasing how they use that yarn then to create their hats and their scarves. We have another jewelry vendor this year that is going to be bringing his welding equipment and showing how he welds his sterling silver. We also this year are going to be featuring the Windy Wine Company out of Osborne, Missouri. We'll be having regional wine tasting thanks to them, which is something new this year. During that time, we also have two featured artists that will be showcasing their wares. Ken Nelson, who is a former professor of Northwest Missouri State University, will be showcasing his hand-turned wood vessels, and Keila Hernandez will be coming from Ottumwa, Iowa, and she will be showcasing her polymer clay creations.
How were these two artists chosen to be the spotlight artists?
Throughout the year, myself, Christy Wolbert, and Diane Sudhoff, the other two organizers, kind of scour the craft shows, scour the art shows, and look at a number of websites and try to find those people that we find have a really unique art that we can showcase. And we invite them to come to the Holiday Hunt as a featured artist.
Now, this is the third year. How has the response been from the artists and the artisans? Are they excited about this?
Yes, every year we have more and more artisans that are asking to be a part of the holiday hunt. And for the last 2 years, we've had to turn people away because we don't have the space for everybody. We are a juried event, which means that people have to apply to be able to come to the holiday hunt. And that gives us the opportunity to make sure that we have a variety of artisans that do come to the event. And we don't have, you know, 25 jewelry vendors and nothing else that's involved. So it's easy for us to be able to showcase and share all of that with everybody.
What about the response from the community? Have they welcomed this and been excited about this?
It seems to be welcomed by all of the community. We have people driving up from Kansas City and St. Joseph because they found out about it from some of the artisans that are coming from there. We do get emails quite frequently asking if people can come and be a part of the holiday hunt, and we are always full, but we are always looking for more and more people to come and purchase items from the vendors.
Do you see a day when you may have to move the venue so that you can accommodate more people?
We get asked that every year as well. And one of the reasons that we do it at the hangar, and Richard Groves has been so gracious with us to use his facility, is because of its unique and its personal atmosphere. It does get a little crowded, but our vendors seem to tell us every year that they like the personal and the smaller space. It doesn't give them the gymnasium kind of feel that they traditionally get from a craft show.
Sonia Hengler is one of the organizers of the Holiday Hunt. She says the event is Sunday from 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. at the Hangar Movie Theater in Maryville. Hengler adds this year admission fees for the Holiday Hunt benefit Big Brothers Big Sisters of Nottoway County. Missouri State Archives traveling exhibit, Divided Loyalties, Civil War Documents from the Missouri State Archives, will be on display in Maryville beginning this weekend. The exhibit will be at the Nottoway County Historical Society Museum. Dr. Bob Bolkin is one of the organizers of the event. He says the Historical Society will help make the documents come to life.
And it has 36 panels in which you will see the history before and after the Civil War. Now, you can see that anytime, and we have a set of questions that you could go along and answer them, which I did before, and you get the answer from the exhibit itself. That's something unique for our area.
Something else that's unique is you will incorporate reenactors. So instead of just reading about what happened during the Civil War, we'll be able to talk to people that might have been in the Civil War.
Thanks to a grant from the Missouri Humanities Council, we are able to bring in people who take the roles of those who were there in the Civil War. We will have a Union soldier in full uniform. And he will talk about the role of the Union in Missouri because, as you know, Missouri wasn't a Union state as such. And then we have a Confederate soldier, and he will display and talk about the weapons used in the Civil War. And we have a mother and a child talking about what it was like in the home and also the games that they played. We even have a person who's portraying Abe Lincoln who will greet the people when they come in, although that would be out of this county because the county did not go with Abe Lincoln for the election. And then we have a person talking about the medical, the amputations, and we have some of the equipment that are used. That were used, I should say. And then we also have the food, not only the military food, such as hardtack and jerky, as we know it now, but also the food that they had in the homes. And chicory coffee is one of the big things that the military had. So they will be not only displaying that and talking about it, but they will also give a few little samples of that particular thing. And that is to enhance what is being done. Now, this will all take place on the main floor of the museum. On the first floor, we have storytelling. And we have a person, Gail Hull, who is going to tell about the life of a housewife in Northwest Missouri specifically before and during the Civil War. Tom Carnell is going to tell stories about the change of command when Missouri had two governors at the same time. And then I will be telling stories about incidents that occurred in Northwest Missouri, interesting incidents that you didn't know who to trust. You didn't know, even within a family, you would have people, some who favor the Confederate cause, and some who were Union people. And then there was a third type, and they're in Northwest Missouri, and they wanted to stay with the Union as long as the Union didn't interfere with the state of Missouri, or at least Northwest.
How did the idea to have the reenactors and the storytellers, how did that develop?
Whenever you have a display, it's an inanimate. I think in order to enhance it, it would be better if you had live things also. I think that's so important because I'm sure people will zip right through without, and that's another reason why we have a little quiz, if you want to take it, which will help you follow the sequential pattern of the war and of the archives.
The actors and the reenactors and the storytellers, are they professionals? Are they local people?
Yes, they are local people, but they have an academic background in or a very definite interest in what they are doing. The enactors, as you call them, are part of the group that goes from one area to another enacting parts of the Civil War.
So these really are people that we can ask questions about and,
and
they've studied.
Oh, yes, very definitely. Okay. Very definitely. If they can't answer the questions, they'll admit it and send you to someplace else.
Dr. Bob Bolkin is one of the organizers of this weekend's Civil War exhibit in Maryville. He says Divided Loyalties, Civil War Documents from the Missouri State Archives, will be on display at the Historical Society Museum at 110 North Walnut Street in Maryville through December 6th. The museum is open from 1 o'clock until 4 o'clock Tuesdays through Fridays. The actors will be performing Sunday afternoon from 2 o'clock until 4 o'clock at the museum.
J. Edgar Hoover is surely the most revered and reviled name in the history of American law enforcement. He created the Federal Bureau of Investigation from scratch to perform the worthwhile task of combating rampant crime when he began his reign and went on to the less admirable work of getting the goods on important public figures with wiretaps and surveillance, creating secret files. J. Edgar, a biopic directed by the gifted Clint Eastwood, traces Hoover's career and gives viewers a fascinating character study. The film's narrative is reminiscent of Citizen Kane, cutting from Hoover's earliest career to big moments in his life and work to the final days of his life. We meet him first as a 20-something federal law officer in 1919. When anarchists bomb the Attorney General's home, Hoover sells his boss on allowing him to form a new kind of law enforcement agency, composed of college graduates who have to dress professionally and be squeaky clean in their personal lives. The young Hoover knows how to excite paranoia in Congress and his superiors against mad dog criminals like Pretty Boy Floyd and John Dillinger, along with immigrants and especially communists. Early in his career, he meets Helen Gandy, played here by Naomi Watts, a typist in the secretarial pool. He takes her to dinner and puts a clumsy move on her. She rebuffs him, saying she wants a career rather than marriage, but he likes her company and hires her as his personal assistant. Thus begins a lifelong, totally platonic relationship. Hoover has a mania for filing information from the card catalog of the Library of Congress to a massive fingerprint collection. He graduates to using his files of wiretaps and surveillance for blackmail in order to keep his job in building his empire. When he's first organizing his new crime-fighting force, he meets Clyde Tolson, played here by Arnie Hammer, a handsome young man who's well-dressed and urbane, just Hoover's type. They bond immediately, and Hoover convinces Tolson to join the Bureau. Tolson agrees on the condition that he and Hoover will have lunch and dinner together every day, so they become inseparable. As did Orson Welles in Citizen Kane, Eastwood and scriptwriter Dustin Block tell Hoover's story through vignettes of passages in their subject's life, flashing back and forth in time. They emphasize Hoover's desperate need for public adulation. The FBI was instrumental in the investigation of the famous Lindbergh kidnapping, for which Hoover took credit. Later, the film casts doubt on just how much he was actually involved in that case and many others for which he boasted making personal arrests. We see him gathering secret files on John and Robert Kennedy, Franklin Roosevelt, Martin Luther King, Lyndon Johnson, and others. He is an even more enthusiastic wiretapper than Richard Nixon would be, who is desperate to get Hoover's secret files for his own when the director dies and sends his black bag crew to try and get them before Helen Gandy can shred them. The film creates a well-rounded picture of its subject. It balances Hoover's colossal ego with the real achievements in his life. It skirts what amounts to legend about his homosexual love for Tolson, making them life companions in a man-love relationship without specifying sexual fulfillment beyond a good deal of eye contact, a bit of hand-holding, and a smooch after a quarrel. Was he a cross-dresser? Well, sort of. Was he a mommy's boy? Definitely. He lived with her until her death, when he was 40 and tries out her clothes after she dies. The film has an Oscar-worthy performance from Leonardo DiCaprio as Hoover. He's come a long way from his pretty boy heartthrob days of Titanic and proves himself a competent actor. Eastwood is amazing. He's gone from roles as Rowdy Yates in the 1950s Rawhide TV series to spaghetti westerns to Dirty Harry and then more recent dramatic roles and now to being one of Hollywood's premier directors as he's moved into his 80s. I don't know what kind of pills this guy takes to maintain his creative drive and octogenarianhood, but I want some. G. Edgar has had mixed reviews from enthusiastic praise to rather harsh criticism. I thought it was one of the better biopics I've seen, and I'm rating it 4 stars out of 5.
That was KXCD KRNW movie reviewer Dr. Carol Fry. You can find information and links to the events and organizations you hear about on Now Showing on the KXCD KRNW website, kxcd.org. You can also listen to archived editions of the program by clicking on the Now Showing link on our homepage. Please join us again next Thursday for another edition of Now Showing. In the meantime, have a great weekend. For KXCV KRNW, I'm Patty Hawley.